Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Oh, welcome to Kinky and the Geek. I claim this podcast in the name of Kinky and the Geek.
That didn't come out right. Oh, I hate that.
Do you want to keep it?
I fucked it up, but yeah. I'm trying to do my Marvin. I can do kind of a decent Marvin the Martian. But it's one of those things.
Yeah, that wasn't Marvin.
No.
That just reminded me of Geeky Gamer Guy. Yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
There you go. There's Marvin.
I claim this podcast in the name of Kinky and the Geek.
Isn't that lovely?
I used to drive my ex crazy with that voice. She hated it. But then again, Alicia hates my Forrest Gump.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm not a smart
man. That's what partners are for, is irritating the fuck out of them with your stupid things that you do that they hate.
I had to stop because she threatened to put me out in the middle of nowhere on the way home from Helen a couple of years ago.
Right, yeah. I'm trying to think if Joe does anything that I can't stand. I'm sure I'll find something.
Oh, you will. Well, once you get around them enough, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff that I do. I know I'm not easy to live with. I know that I'm not, easy to deal with on a daily basis.
Right.
Short duration, fine.
Right, it is going to be interesting once you two are there 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah, which is actually,
Later.
Maybe coming up, actually.
Maybe, at some point, yeah.
Welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Yes.
My name is Fleshvine, and I am Kinky.
your name, is name Kinky?
Hi, my name is Fleshvine. I'm Kinky.
Hi, Fleshvine. And I'm Mighty Bill, also known as the Geek.
Awesome.
Yes. It's been a while since we've recorded
I'm back to 4 hours of sleep last night, so it should be a winner.
Yeah.
It seemed to be the best one, so.
Right. Yeah, we had a boo-boo. We didn't realize we had an archive on Podbean, so.
Yeah, so this, I'm putting up the one with Aston on today, which is the 14th. I've got to go home and finish it up. I'll be putting this one maybe next week, the weekend. I don't know. I'm trying to space them out.
Right.
We're not going away.
Nope.
We haven't forgotten about you. We miss you all terribly, even though
we flap daily in the idea of missing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Which you should know all about.
Sometimes I weep.
Yes.
I weep from my cock.
I weep from my cock. Does that does that count?
You weep for your cock?
No, I weep from my cock.
Oh, okay, I was like, why? It was it cut off in a tragic combine accident?
No, because I don't stick my dick in combines.
I wouldn't. I wondered why the hell you were weeping for it.
I don't stick it in strange places, it stays exactly where it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Yes, you do stick it in strange places, actually, if you think about it.
No, that's what it's made for. I don't stick it in knot holes in trees or in glory holes and light sockets and chicken butts. And
that was actually such a weird visual I got.
What was it? It's the old joke about the Indian that goes to the whorehouse. Mm-hmm. And he wants his, but he doesn't have any experience, so they sent him away. Mm-hmm. They make him go fuck a couple of trees and come back. And he goes, hey, I have experience. And so he goes up with a whore, and all of a sudden he takes out a stick and starts running around her pussy. He's like, what are you doing? Checking for bees.
Nice. You're weird.
Why do you ask? Two dogs humping.
What?
Another joke.
Okay.
Indian boy goes to his father, the chief, and goes, Dad, how do you figure out what our names, where you get your names? He goes, it is the first thing I see when I come out of teepee when you're born. Mm-hmm. Your brother, I came out, saw eagle soaring in the sky, so I called him Soaring Eagle. When I came out for your other brother, saw a wolf running, so he became Wolf Running Wolf. Mm-hmm. Why do you ask? Two dogs humping.
Wow. That was awesome, actually. I think that's the best way we've started off a podcast in
quite a while. One of my favorite jokes.
Yeah, okay.
Why you ask two dogs humping.
Very nice. So, okay, so what have you been up to lately?
Did I talk about my trip?
No.
We had a group trip. We went up to, me and a group of friends, that we nicknamed the Atlanta Geek Gang on our Yahoo group. That way we could all just do mass emails to each other about stuff.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
And, we rented a cabin up in Helen, about 7 miles outside of Helen. You actually go through Helen and then go up through Unicoi State Park, and you're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I want to say it, the way the map looked is you're actually slowly jutting into Chattahoochee National Park.
Okay.
Up there in North Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, looking at your pictures, I've got to get Joe up there. I'm trying to think of things in Georgia that are beautiful that you
right.
need to see.
Oh, yeah.
Like from the beaches to the mountains to the, you know, pecan orchards and...
Well, Helen itself is an interesting little town to go into anyway because and for those who don't know, Helen was a small town up in North Georgia that I guess had one of these failing economies. Mm-hmm. You know, it was in the gold mining area. There's actually Dahlonega's
really,
Dahlonega,
yeah.
And that is where Georgia the gold thing was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they decided to save their little town. They turned themselves into a little alpine Bavarian village.
Tourist trap thing.
A tourist trap, yeah.
And it's
I don't
want
to call it a tourist trap, but it's a great little town.
Well, that's kind of what it was made for. It was supposed to be a place that you would stop and have lunch and hit a couple
right.
shops, you know, on your way to wherever you were going.
Right.
And yeah, it's a great little place.
Yeah, they got the candy shops you go in where they make the stuff right there. They've got a couple of great German restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They've
got a really good gourmet food shop in there where you can get all kinds of wine and funky cheese.
There's several different wineries because Georgia up there are, and it is legal to buy wine on Sundays up there because it is considered an agricultural product.
Right.
At that point.
Right. Because
you're getting it straight from the winery.
Right.
It's great sightseeing. You can do the tubing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got some nice bars.
Mm-hmm.
Very biker friendly too.
It is. Every time I go there, it seems like there are a slew of bikers.
Right. Well, there's even a little area like off one of the side roads that is a kind of bikers only designated area. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is a nice day trip from the city.
Yeah.
On a bike.
It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours at the very most, depending on which way you go. Nice winding roads. It's very green.
Mm-hmm.
Very scenic. You go a little further up, you're in one of the Georgia state parks,
right?
Which is very pretty. That's where we stayed the first time we did this. Mm-hmm. You can actually rent cabins in Unicoi State Park.
Mm-hmm.
We were originally going to do that again, and we were going to try to get two cabins that kind of fit because the cabins share a porch.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And we were going to try to get like two separate because you can get three couples in one cabin,
okay,
and be extremely comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all sold out.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We went looking, and there was one up there. It was you could get 12 people in this cabin.
Ah, nice.
Full kitchen. I mean, it's basically a house.
Right. And how many of you were there?
We had 10.
Okay.
We could have got two more. It's basically, there's three bedrooms, each with a king-size bed.
Mm-hmm.
Which for me and Alicia always ends up, you know, we could get a third person in this bed easily.
Right.
Because we end up like on either side of the bed away from each other.
Yeah, I used to have a king size bed, and it was so funny because I could like just stretch full out with my arm and not touch her.
Right.
Which is how we slept because we hated each other. So.
Well, we just seem to end up that way. We don't hate each other. We start off cuddling, but we always end up on the other side
of
the bed.
Well, people heat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's three bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
One bedroom is the master bedroom, so you get the bathroom to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's...
And the person who puts that on their credit card
is going to get the master bedroom.
Yeah.
We've already decided that. That's what we're going to do. And I think we're going to do it next year.
Okay.
So we'll get it. And there's a loft area with a pool table, two futons, big enough to carry two people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two rollaway beds.
Okay.
So
how did you figure out who got the beds?
Well, initially it was the three couples, us... two of our friends, I don't want to name names, and you met them, E and M, the people that hosted my party.
Right.
And R and AM.
Right, right.
They did, we were kind of the core couple.
Okay.
Couples that decided to do this. And then everybody else kind of moved around us.
Sure, fine, but you get a futon.
Right.
Nice.
And that, but the people who got the futons paid less.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you could, you know, if everyone decided at the same time, you could draw straws or...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also took a trip, speaking of little places to go in Georgia. I went down to Milledgeville, Georgia, right. Which was the state capital until 63.
The second state capital, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. The one that took over after Savannah. I think Savannah...
Yeah, I don't think Savannah was ever... But well, I think it was
originally
city.
The colony. The colony first showed up at Savannah.
Yeah,
so I don't know if that was ever a state capital. Yeah, I would look that up.
Yeah, but yeah, until you know when Sherman came through and burned everything, that was when everything Atlanta was rebuilt and the capital right. was moved there. But yeah, it
That's
is
why
actually
it's Phoenix is the
right.
the city.
Right. Yeah, it used to be Atlanta used to be called Phoenix City. For a while.
And maybe, but I know its original name was Terminus.
Yeah, Terminus. Yeah, because all the railroads.
All the trains, yeah, all the railroads stopped
there.
Yeah,
stopped there. Kind of like Mainz in Germany, which everywhere you go in Germany, you're going through Mainz.
Really?
Yeah. So I went down there for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm writing a story and I was looking for a location. I needed like a little southern city and that was it. I found the perfect fucking spot. And it looked perfect on the map because of all the names of everything around it.
Right.
And I went driving down through there, and it was absolutely beyond perfect.
Right.
Yeah, it was like exactly what I needed. So I was jazzed about that. But also, Milledgeville is home to Central State Hospital.
Right.
Which used to be called, Central State Sanitarium. Or something insane asylum.
Right.
And what it is it's a huge, originally a 57-acre piece of land that was designated as a state insane asylum.
Right.
Well, it grew. I mean, it's huge. And there are, like, at least 30 or 40 buildings. Most of them are abandoned. Some of them are still in use. There's still Central State Hospital, which is an actual fully functioning hospital now. But it was like 30 or 40 buildings of an insane asylum that are all old and decrepit now.
Right, because I believe that was, if you were AKA, you know, you were considered insane, that's where you went.
That's where you went, yeah. You went to Milledgeville, yeah.
There was no other, that's why you needed a facility that big, is because no one else, there was no other
That's
place.
Where you went in the state, yeah. And actually, it's funny, because I talked to somebody who... I can't remember who it was. She was saying, yeah, their parents used to threaten them to take them to Milledgeville. But so it's all these old abandoned buildings now. And, you know, it started in the 1880s,
right.
I want to say. 1880s or 1890s. And in the time that it's been open, 25,000 to 30,000 people have died there.
Right.
You know, which it's a hospital, people are going to die, but a lot of the deaths are attributed to quote unquote medical experimentation.
Right.
Also, there are mass graves. There are these huge mass graves where, you know, all the black people, there are separate places for the black people to stay, where they are just buried in a big pit. You know, or the places where they couldn't afford markers for everyone, so they would just put a metal spike in the ground with a number on it.
Right.
So just crazy fucking haunted, you know, supposed to be wild. And actually, I think the ghost hunters have been there. Mom said she seemed to remember an episode.
Yeah, I know they found something like that at Oakland. They were doing some renovation, and they found the slave burial.
Okay.
In where Oakland is.
Okay.
So there's actually an area that was the original slave. It's cut towards the back.
Well, they actually moved. There was a place where like 2,000 you know, African Americans were buried, that they actually moved it to build another building. So all kinds of like just a recipe for unrest, and it's all overgrown and kudzu everywhere and windows shattering. And
right.
Got some great fucking photos.
That's cool.
And actually, there's a cemetery down there called Memory Hill, and it is kind of like Milledgeville's Oakland.
Oh, okay.
They've got not quite the big, all the mausoleums and everything, right. But there are some really beautiful monuments down there. Got some great shots of those. And it's where Flannery O'Connor is buried.
Okay.
And I went and saw her grave. And there were all these tokens. People had left coins and stones and feathers and things.
Well, I've told you about, they have, I can never remember his name, but the amateur golfer. I can't remember his name again.
Yeah, we've talked about it, I know.
Yeah, where they still have, golfers will still leave tees and balls for good luck.
Yeah, and hers, actually, I kind of expected like a monument, but it's kind of like Margaret Mitchell, where you expect something, but it's just kind of nothing.
I noticed that too when Maynard Jackson died. It was one of the last times I went to Oakland, and they had signs, you know, pointing to where he was buried.
Okay.
But it's a very simple headstone.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of expect a little something more.
Yeah, someone who was that big, you know, in the city at least.
Right.
You would expect something a little more grandiose. Right. But,
Yeah, so it was just a nice little trip. I, you know, just take a little road trip, and I actually stopped at Rock Eagle, which I had never been to.
Right, yeah.
I was totally jazzed to do that, and that's...
I think Alicia has been, and I know my sister's been, because she was part of a
4-H
group. I know Alicia was 4-H. I don't think my sister was, because it was an elementary school trip.
Okay. Well, what it is it's these two. There's Rock Eagle, and there's also a Rock Fountain, Falcon, somewhere close by. And it's the two largest stone decorative mounds east of the Mississippi, where... it's a mound that's like 8 feet high of white quartzite that had to be brought in.
Right.
And I think it's like 1,000 years old, I think.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I should have looked all this shit up before I started talking about it so I could sound like I knew what I was talking about. But it's 8 feet tall and it's a big round mound. But they also, you know, kind of went further and put wings and a face looking east and a tail and everything. So it's an eagle.
Right.
Or actually, it's a bird. It looks a little bit more like a buzzard. They kind of speculate it may be a buzzard.
Which would kind of make sense, because you'd probably see more buzzards in the area than you would eagles.
Well, yeah, and it's very symbolic of the dead.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, Rock Eagle just sounds way
better than rock buzzard. Yeah.
Rock Buzzard
sounds like a southern, sounds like a southern rock band, tribute band.
Right. Right.
Rock Buzzard sounds like something you know, all like 38 Special and
ZZ Top,
and, ZZ Top and Leonard Skinner and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had a good trip too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went by myself. It was kind of a fact finding thing, but I'm totally making the trip again with some people in tow. So I want to go dig through some of the old, the abandoned house, the buildings
right.
of the hospital, and bring like voice recorders and stuff. And.
Yeah.
Do the ghost hunting.
I know you said something about Aruka going with you, and she'd want to go. Yeah, because she's really into that kind of stuff.
And I like taking photos and like the decay and everything. Just fucking.
Because I know she she also loves, you know, likes the ghost hunter stuff, and I know that's one of the groups she always, when they come to Dragon Con, she always goes and checks out.
Right.
But she won't go see the ghost douche hunters.
See, I totally want to see them this year. I'm so completely jazzed.
Douche adventurers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, who was I talking to about that?
They may be nice guys, but they are such douchebags.
They are such douchebags. And I was talking to somebody recently. I was like, "Really, you like that?" Oh, Proteus, his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
She and I were talking about it. She likes that show too, for the same reasons, just because they're hilarious.
You know how I feel about douchebag stuff. It's like, you know, we're going to Fry's today. And found a cheap cover for the iPhone, but it was Ed Hardy, and I couldn't bring myself to buy anything with the Ed Hardy thing on it. Yeah,
we should talk about what we got at Fry's. We got some good shit.
Yeah,
that was a wildly successful shopping trip.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you know, I found exactly what I was looking for. Although some of the other stuff I was looking for, I was kind of hoping to find. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
No, you
go. All right. First thing I have here is I picked up.
Thank you, Aston.
Yes, Aston, when we did our horror movie thing, and we sent out our thing about favorite horror movies, Aston sent us not only his pick, but a movie poster
right.
for Lady Frankenstein.
Yep.
And I happened to stumble across...
It's not the same poster on the front, though.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that is the same
That's
one?
The exact same poster.
I remember it differently for some reason.
Yeah, it is a 1972 movie.
So you know it's going to be good.
With no one I recognize. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yeah, it was like $4.99, right?
Yeah, it was $4.99. Yeah. It was something. It was like, you know what? It's $4.99. It's a cheesy horror movie.
It's bound to be.
It's got to be at least riffable.
Right.
Making
right.
fun of. Plus, yeah, it's supposed to have nudity, but we're talking 70s nudity, and that's not always a good thing.
Yeah, it may not be so good.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I picked up is because we are getting ready to do a science fiction 101.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Yeah, don't say the films necessarily. Don't.
Right.
Let's not give the list away just yet.
Yeah, one of the ones I wanted to find that I couldn't find on YouTube because the people who own it have pulled it, even though it is older than dirt.
Yeah.
But I found this. It's called Destination Earth Alien Invaders, and it is something. Yay. It is 50 horror movies going from the 50s to the 70s.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't even notice that the first time. It's got the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's got that. It's got War of the Worlds, one of my favorite. The Thing, The Blob. Let's see some of this stuff. Another one.
See, I have
Invasion of the Saucer Men. Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I've got a set that's like 50 drive-in movie... Sci-fi drive-in movie classics.
Plane.
And none of those movies look nearly as good as that classic.
Yeah,
this
Island of Earth... Invasion of the Bee Girls. That's just going
to be
cheese-alicious.
Tasty.
1973.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. And number 50 is The Man Who Fell from Earth.
Nice.
Which is Bowie, and I've never seen it. And yeah, $10 for 50 science fiction movies, and some of them are actually really good.
Yeah.
Including the one I want. I mean, yeah.
So I think you're probably going to end up watching that, and then you'll trade me for the collection that I got. I love fries, and I always end up spending way too much money here. I got, for $13.99, the Ultimate Horror Collection, Sleepless Nights. And it's got House on Haunted Hill, which that's the only one I really have a legal copy of. So
right.
If it's got 20 movies, if there's only one that I already had a copy of, I'm pretty happy.
Right.
The Human Monster, Indestructible Man, Invisible Ghost, CD2, The Last Man on Earth. I've got that one too.
Which is actually really good out of the two versions I've seen of I Am Legend.
Yeah.
That was my favorite because Man just is a little on the cheesy side.
Well, see, I watched that before I Am Legend, and it's like, wow, what a concept. You know what I mean? And the way it was just done, it was just so very lonely.
And you know what's sad? Is the guy who wrote I Am Legend didn't like that version of I Am Legend. He did not like Last Man on Earth.
I love it.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Okay, so that's two movies that I had out of 20. Still not bad. The Phantom Creeps, Nightmare Castle. Volume 3 has Unnatural, The Little Shop of Horrors, and Carnival of Souls.
Which are two classics.
Yeah, some of these I've seen, but I've just, you know, didn't have them. Volume 4, Vampire Happening, The Satanic Rites of Dracula, starring Christopher Lee as Dracula,
good. That means it's a Hammer film.
Right. Wolfman. Volume 5 has Night of the Living Dead, which I
also have, but
Yeah. Now I have a legal copy.
Yes.
The Thirsty Dead and Messiah of Evil. And Volume 6 has White Zombie, which I've been dying to see.
I want to say it's Bela Lugosi's last... No, wait. No, Plan 9 from Outer Space was Lugosi's last movie.
It's 1932.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
It's one, but yeah, no. I was going to say, I thought that was, but no, it's just one of his famous ones, and that's where the band's name came from.
Right.
But no, Plan 9 from Outer Space was Lugosi's last movie.
Okay.
In fact, he died during... That's why
I've downloaded the riff tracks and still just haven't watched
it. We saw it. They did the live riff track. The first riff tracks live I went to was they did Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Well, this one also has one that I picked up just on its own. I was like, oh, this looks interesting, which is The Killer Shrews.
Right.
The Monster Walks and Creature from the Haunted Sea.
I want to say the Killer Shrews.
That's bound to be good.
Yeah. Well, Corman was known for doing movies on the cheap.
Yeah, he... What did I watch? What did he direct? He didn't... No, he didn't do The Tingler. He did... it was one of those silver screen spook shows.
He did so many, because you've got two Corman movies on there, because he did Little Shop of Horrors, was a Corman movie, too.
Well, this one, it says Seymour Krelboyne, that may be the actor.
That's Seymour. Feed me Seymour. That's the character. That's the character who grows Audrey.
It's kind of weird the way they have it written here.
And I love the musical. I actually need to own the musical version with...
Yeah, I wish they had all the directors on here.
But yeah, I want to say... No, in fact, it was, because that was one of Jack Nicholson's early movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Corman that gave him the start.
Okay.
Because he plays... You've seen the musical version, right? With Steve Martin and Eugene Levy?
Yeah. I'm hoping I like this version.
Not Eugene Levy.
What's
his face? I can't remember his name. He was in Ghostbusters.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Cones.
Oh, I hate it when we do this.
I do, too. And it's
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, Okay, the Bill Murray role in that movie where he plays the masochist.
Yeah.
That's Nicholson's role in Little Shop of Horrors.
Maybe I like it. Maybe I like it.
And it's not a musical. It's a straight movie.
Okay, cool.
But I love the musical. It's got some really good music.
It's just so cheesy. I just remember it from when I was a kid, thinking, even as a kid, I was like, this is fucking stupid. There are bonus features on every disc. On one is A Brief History of Horror in the Movies.
That's interesting.
Volume 2, bonus feature, Rare Radio Highlights of the Haunting Hour.
Ooh.
Hey.
I love radio stuff.
Volume 3, the bonus feature is Vintage Horror Trailers.
Ooh.
Kick ass. Volume 4, the bonus feature is a trivia quiz, which I know nothing, but I'm learning.
Right.
Volume 5, the bonus feature is The Story of Night of the Living Dead, which, ooh, that's awesome. Volume 6, the bonus feature is Classic Monster Movie Trailers.
The most interesting thing I've found out about Night of the Living Dead is everybody gave Romero a lot of props, like he was trying to make a statement by making Ben a black man.
Yeah, it was very... actually, all of his have a racial element.
Right, but the thing is he did not hire that actor because he was black. He hired him because he ended up being the best guy. Ben was originally a white man, was a white guy.
Okay.
It's just the actor who came in to audition for Ben was the best man for the job.
Well, it is funny, though, because that was... it was real rare to see a black man who was a hero of a movie.
Right.
At the time.
But it had nothing... But see, that was just it. He was not trying to make a statement. He just happened to be the best actor.
Yeah.
Which I think is the best way of doing it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, not to hire him just for, you know...
Because I think... Because sometimes I think hiring someone for the color of their skin is almost as bad as not hiring him. Because you're not making... It's not a judgment on what their ability is.
Right.
It's the judgment on what they look like.
Well, yeah, but I did notice in there was a lot of there were different races represented in Dawn of the Dead, so I thought that was kind of cool. So, and there's even a Hare Krishna, which kicks ass. I'm trying to decide what is my favorite zombie movie, and I haven't been exposed to that many. But I gotta say, it's between Dawn of the Dead and Zombieland right now. Because I've rewatched Zombieland, which is on Netflix.
I have not seen Zombieland yet.
Fucking love that movie.
But I have to say, for me, the original Dawn of the Dead has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such an interesting element, because you have that long part in the middle where you have these people who are basically have everything and are coming complacent, and you see what it's doing to them.
Hmm.
Because there is a time, there's a large chunk in the middle of the movie. Once they clear it off, they've got them all. Yeah. You see the pilot and the girl, the lady who worked at they start drifting apart.
Yeah.
Because
they don't have anything.
It's same
to really
shit
keep them
same
anymore.
Day, right?
Well, you know, and it is kind of just the silly, stupid humor. I mean, there are so many like commentaries on American culture and mall culture, and you know, all the zombies trying to ride the escalator.
The interesting thing I found listening, they were talking about it on Night of the Living podcast. Mm-hmm. That the reason you had so many different looking people is because the thing was just show up in what you're wearing, mm-hmm. and they do a quick zombie job on you.
Oh, nice.
And they just happened to be, I guess one of the people was dressed up as a Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
And came in and became,
love him.
Became a...
And he is famous. I think he actually, movie Brain Rot. I was talking to Jim DeSantis about him, and he said that he actually has a Twitter, or he's got his own Facebook, or he has an internet presence.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was kind
of
cool.
The interesting thing is he's a catalyst of part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because of him making it up to where they're hiding.
Right. That's what makes them decide.
That makes them decide that's what makes them decide they need to block them all off.
Uh-huh.
And...
Oh, I thought that was about when they were ready to leave, because I thought it was towards the end.
No. He shows up. He basically ends up making... No, what brings all the zombies up is the helicopter pilot, after he becomes a zombie, still has enough recognition to know that's a fake wall, and he basically leads everybody up to their hidey hole.
Okay.
Yeah, they had the Uber special edition at Fry's too, which has got like all three versions of the movie, which is including the one I've told you about, which was basically one that would travel around to like festivals and
that
colleges.
Was another one that had two different soundtracks too, didn't it?
What it was is you had the original movie, which had all the full cut, had the entire soundtrack, everything laid down. Mm-hmm. The one I originally saw was basically the first cut of the movie, mm-hmm. That had a temporary soundtrack by the Goblins, the same group that did the music for Suspiria. And had little was a little longer,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't cut out as they didn't cut it down as much.
Mm-hmm.
The part with the biker gang when they come in, it's a lot longer. There's an interesting little discussion as they initially take off in the helicopter when they're talking about who they're leaving behind in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say the whole thing with the siege on the tenement. Is a little longer.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny. This is turning into an episode of Movie Brain Rot. If you want to hear some great episodes on, from somebody who absolutely fucking adores zombie movies, go check that out.
I'm slowly listening to them.
And I actually listened to... I downloaded all the zombie apps, but just hadn't... You know, I listened to one or two, but hadn't had a chance to really listen. And all the way down to Milledgeville and all the way back up.
Right.
That's what I was listening to. That and Weekend Justice.
Which is interesting because White Zombie is voodoo zombies.
Yeah.
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 So you're getting a different version of the zombie.
And from what I'm hearing, there are some French zombie movies that are insanely good. And there are some Italian zombie movies that are really good.
There's one called Zombie, which is, I think, spelled with an I.
Exactly.
That's a little rough to watch. There are some scenes in
there. That's the one with the I.
Yeah, there's also the scene, there's a commercial where the guy is doing the whole, it's one of the Windows 7 commercials, and he's talking about wanting to know more about zombies, and they're like they're watching a documentary about how a shark and a zombie fall in love.
Uh-huh.
The if I'm not mistaken, the footage they show is from Zombie.
Okay, cool. And then the other movie I got is Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, because I didn't have this one.
Right.
And I do try to buy all these because I like them. I know a lot of people have a problem with them who like the books. I like the books and the movies.
Yeah, I mean, there are parts of it that I like. I can enjoy the movie, but I'll end up, me and Aruka will end up discussing what they've left out.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that.
Well, I've read the books, but it's been so long.
Right.
You know what I mean? That I can enjoy the movie for its own merits. Because I don't remember the book so well that I'm picking up on all that.
My problem with it is, part of it is kind of the attitude of the people who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they do the movie the way they do it is they're like, well, the people who watch these movies have read the books, so they don't really need to have this in here.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Well, if you are just watching the movies...
Right.
Although I don't think that I've... There's been much that's missed.
I can tell you right now, one of the biggest flaws of one of the reasons why I really did not... Well, there are two that why I really don't like what they did with Half-Blood Prince. Uh-huh. One of it is that they left something out. One is there's no reason for them to have done it. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the movie mm-hmm. where, spoiler, after they kill Dumbledore.
Right.
In the book, there's a rousing, running wand yeah. battle through Hogwarts where you
that.
Get to see McGonagall and yeah. the levitate the guy who teaches them the little
Flick.
Yeah. You see these wizards you've been waiting to see throw down going after the people who have
kind of like Yoda and his kung fu
right
thing. Yeah
and you also you know you get you know the kids are in on it too because they're fighting and it's mm-hmm. basically the two generations of the Phoenix Order of the Phoenix mm-hmm. you know coming together to fight off what they've done. And they have
yeah, that
to
could
leave.
Have been. Yeah.
They have to leave through the woods mm-hmm. because their original way out is blocked because of the fighting, mm-hmm. which also has the whole confrontation between Snape mm-hmm. and Harry.
Right, right.
Well, in the movie, they cut the complete battle out. Mm-hmm. They literally waltz out of Hogwarts. Yeah. Through the woods.
Yeah.
And part of me is, fuck, where's my battle?
Right.
And two is like, why the fuck are they leaving through the woods when the way they came in is completely open and they could go right back into Diagon Alley?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It, you know, in all honesty, it, yeah, I do remember because it had been so long since I had read the book. But
right.
I remember it being, I thought there was more there.
Right.
You know, but not even fully remembering.
And the other thing is, Dumbledore didn't get his fucking funeral in the movie.
That's... He didn't?
He did not. The funeral is not at the... Because the end of the end of the movie is basically Harry going, I'm not coming back to Hogwarts next year. I'm going off to find the other Horcruxes.
And, yeah.
And the whole Peter Parker speech he has with Ginny. Oh, you can't come with me because it's too dangerous. People who know me,
yeah,
it's like,
whatever.
Fuck you. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, you know, I gotta say, I did watch the trailer for Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
And I'm jazzed.
I am too. And I know I'll go. I'll go and see it in the theater. I do enjoy the movie, but there are just...
Yeah.
It's things like that that really mess me up. Plus, they leave out stuff that's like, wait, that's going to come back and bite you on the ass because you need that to explain what happens in the final movies. And it's like, wait, but you were over here, but now you're over here.
Well, I mean, you know, as somebody who doesn't remember the books,
all right.
because it has, you know... I find that they flow. Okay, right. I did notice that battle.
Right.
The lack thereof. But yeah.
Which is funny because one of the reasons they were actually originally thinking about splitting this into two movies, mm-hmm. but it was the last 100 and something pages is where all the actions are, so mm-hmm. they thought they weren't going to be able to do it. And then they cut the fucking action.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But no, yeah. Although there is a little bit of a controversy about the trailer. A small one.
Really?
In the trailer where you see, there's the one thing where you see Hermione standing there where she's got the wand in one hand and putting up a hand. If you watch the trailer, she's in this pose, basically.
Yeah.
Well, it seems on Half-Blood Prince, there's a preview of the Deathly Hallows that has that scene in it. Uh-huh. In the DVD version, her hand's bloody.
Oh.
In the trailer that was out, the hand is miraculously clean.
Oh, they cleaned it up for
They cleaned it up for the trailer, most likely, because the fact that to get the green. But you notice there are two versions of the trailer card. There's a green card and there's a red card.
Oh, no.
Green card is basically this trailer is suitable for all audiences. Uh-huh. The red card is basically the restricted
you can find
trailer.
You can find it on YouTube if you look for it.
That or it's on front of an R-rated movie.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've only seen it a couple of times, but yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention the other thing that I got at Fry's. And you like this.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. This is... Shit, I can't even read it. It's too small.
Where's your bag?
It's over there. It'll be all crinkly if I try
to
read it. Bali's Best, who makes a series of candies. And this is a tea candy. And it's a little hard candy in a little packet. And it's citrus
sweet. And you put it on your dick. Wait, no, that's a condom.
Well.
Sorry.
You could.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you want to. But lick it first so it sticks there.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't
true.
Fall onto the ground. Citrus green tea, and it's delicious.
It is. It tastes exactly like tea once you pop it in your mouth.
Yeah.
And if actually, you like tea, I mean, there are people who don't.
Yeah, then don't buy it. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it for people who don't like tea. But yeah, there's a green one that I've gotten, and it's a green tea latte. It's really good because it's a little bit more creamy, and it doesn't have that citrusy tang, but yeah, it's a tea. It is a tea candy.
Yeah, it is.
So it's really good.
It tastes like green tea, yeah.
It does, yeah. So I just wanted to...
It's interesting, yeah.
About that.
Now if we could just get sponsored by these people, it'd be great.
Right? Yeah. That'd be nice.
Get sponsored by fries.
Wow. Actually, they could just give a shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
just hand electronic stuff over. It didn't even have to be huge, yeah.
I have no issues with that.
No.
Yeah. So you said we had some questions from...
We did. Since it's our first recording for a while. And yeah, the only people... Unless we got some before I checked, but you know how the reception is here with the iPhone. So yeah, Aston sent us two.
Mm-hmm.
First one, I'm not sure, is, favorite Dragon Ball Z character.
I don't know Dragon Ball Z.
Neither do I. Oh, okay. I've not seen, but this is what, I've seen some, and this seems to be, every time I turn it on, this is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Previously on Dragon Ball Z.
So you like the... Oh, okay.
No. Now on Dragon Ball Z. Next time on Dragon Ball Z. It's like it takes...
You like the announcer.
No, I'm not saying there is an announcer. It's just, it seems like the entire episodes I end up watching is one guy powering up some massive blow against the bad guy that always ends up not working.
Okay.
He goes through this, he becomes big and bright, and hair goes up and changes color, and stuff goes flying by, and he fires it at the bad guy, and the bad guy just kind of goes, okay.
All right. That sounds like a great show.
It's extremely popular. It's extremely long. Mm-hmm. And I've never been able to see from the beginning.
Okay.
So I'm not making fun of it too much, except for the fact that that's what I get. That's what I always seem to run into when I turn on an episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Okay. Well, his second question was, we love you. How do I spread the funk from the mothership?
And my
answer was, you get down with your bad self.
And mine was, just bring out the dog in you.
Uh-huh.
Bow wow wow, yippee-o, yippee-ay. Bow wow, yippee-o, yippee-ay.
Yeah. And then my second thought was, God, I wish I could have dreadlocks.
I've actually seen Parliament in concert.
No shit.
But without George. Oh. George was not with them. But they had a shitload of other people with them.
Are they still good?
There is at least 20 fucking people in that band.
Yeah.
And this was at the Georgia Theater.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been to the Georgia Theater in Athens. It's a small... It's basically like Heaven in the Masquerade.
Like a small venue.
And it's like four...
There are probably more members of the band than people there.
No, it was fairly big, but they did end up getting more people on because they had intermission.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now we're going to bring out the other half of the band.
Yeah, or start the other half of the song they play.
Yeah.
Because there are some Parliament songs that are like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
With at least two intermissions and a pee break.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just... But yeah, I was very happy to go. It was me, my ex, Red of the Dead, a former friend, and his fiance, who I'm still friends with, M.
Oh, right on. Okay.
And we went there, and it was a fun time. We ended up leaving early because I think we had to get back because it was in Athens. We were living living in Lawrenceville or having to make it all the way back to Atlanta. I can't remember which.
Yeah.
And I know Em was kind of tired, so we took her home, but Jackass stayed and
all right.
got down. Yeah. So
awesome. Good for him.
Because he was the main reason we went, is because he really wanted to go.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, oh, shit, okay, check out Parliament.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, but
yeah, you wouldn't have to twist my arm.
No, it's like, but no George and no Bootsy, so.
Oh, yeah.
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 But still a rousing
rollicking
show.
Good show.
Oh, a rollicking good show.
Yeah, I used to see a funk band around here called Stuck Mojo.
Mm-hmm.
That was so good. Did you ever see them?
I never saw them. I have heard of them,
but
I've never
seen
them.
They were amazing. Actually, one of my friends from high school played drums for them.
Okay.
For a while. And, man, they could put on a show. They were really good. But yeah, I never got so into funk. Yeah, I guess the only other funk band would be Red Hot Chili Peppers at Lollapalooza.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of iffy funk pop, you know.
No, there's funk because.
Well, this was when they started getting poppy, though.
No, there's always they've pretty much until after probably not Mother's Milk, the one that came after Mother's Milk, because their producer was George Clinton.
Yeah, but
because originally they were kind of a straight rock band.
Yeah,
and then they ended up hooking up with George Clinton, mm-hmm. and that's when the funk sound started. You know that funk bass that Flea plays and stuff has started putting into the elements of it. So it's kind of a rock funk, you know, like you said. It's more of a rock funk, fusion type thing. So
there's not really much coming out that's funky right now.
Not mainstream.
And actually, when you started talking about funk bass, I started thinking of that, the bass in Killing in the Name of.
Right.
Love
their music, hate their politics.
Yeah.
They're a little
extreme even for me, but.
My whole thing is they've got like an they have a kind of a bit of an anti-America slant to them, but the thing is, if they lived in any other country and tried to pull that kind of shit, they would be
Well,
so,
you know,
but that's just kind of it. Yeah, that's the whole beauty of the country is you do have that freedom of speech. So,
but, you know, some people. Never mind. We're not getting into politics.
Okay,
we're not, because I was gonna bring up Rush Limbaugh. So we'll just leave it at that. What else?
Oh,
seems like there's something else, and we were like, we got to remember to say.
We talked about. We did our
thing. Man, we are good at the podcast.
Yes, we are. But then again, we're a little rusty. It's been a little bit. Yeah. We talked about because we really had no agenda.
Right. Seems like we pointed something out. Yeah, there's actually, I've been following two other horror fans on Twitter that followed me for some reason or said something to me or one retweeted something I said or I don't know, we just ended up following them. One is McBastard 2000, I think.
Okay.
Who follows Movie Brain Rot.
And, okay.
And made a response to something I had said to him or something that Jim had retweeted. Who's awesome. And he's the one I think who's been watching the Mario Bava box set.
Oh, okay.
That I was looking all over the place for at Fry's. I want so badly.
That's one you may have to find on Amazon.
I think I am. And I'd like a Dario Argento, but I don't want any of the noir detective crap. You know, I just want the horror.
Right.
Because I just kind of can't.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's not. If you may have to pick them up singly, you know, piecemeal, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there might be a horror one where he just has his horror
just
stuff.
I want to own them.
Right.
You know? And, you know, same thing. If there was like a Hammer Master Collection, which I looked on Amazon, I couldn't find.
I found some. I found a couple of Hammer stuff, there are a few.
Was it like the full, the definitive?
No, I don't think, considering the size of the Hammer, that you would not be able to, if the Buffy collection is almost $300 at times for all seven seasons of Buffy, can you imagine what the entire catalog of the Hammer, the Hammer films would be?
Yeah, but I want it.
I know.
And then the other one, I don't think I've mentioned him before, but he's fucking hilarious. And if you like funny people, you got to follow him. What is his name? He's a British guy. I will find him. This is me scrolling.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to talk about the person I'm following now, then, real quick.
Okay, who are you following?
The porn star.
Okay.
See if I can't. I just need to bring up her name.
I want to say his name is Horror Extreme.
Just go to the fact that it's a slow internet. I just want to look for a name.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of editing on this one. Yes, his name is Horror Extreme.
Okay.
Love horror, gore, and boobies. Occasionally update my site. Mostly I get drunk and tweet shit, swears, and sexual innuendo. I recommend you don't follow. I recommend you do. Because it's fucking funny. So go follow him, like, immediately. And he actually... retweeted one called Simon Swears.
Oh. Is that where you've been getting the Simon Swears stuff? Yes.
And he just comes up with, or it's a bot. I mean, I'd say he will just send out an insult an hour, a nasty insult. Like this, or some of them are just stupid and funny. Like this one was Slimy Lover. Let me find some other ones. Because some of them are like hilarious, cunt bucket. I mean, he'll just come up with crazy shit.
Cum dumb story.
Or he, you know, the
whoever's doing it.
Shit funk monkey. Shit fuck monkey.
Shit fuck monkey.
Yeah, don't know what it means.
Right.
But yeah, Simon Swears. It's hilarious.
That's not.
Purple Bent.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's a British thing, I'm sure. Probably. Yeah, it's also British. So that was it for my little Twitter. My group.
Right. The one I started following is a porn star by the name of Gabby Quintos.
And she's the Colombian one.
I think she lives in LA but is originally from Colombia. It all started thanks to the World Cup. It seems there was a Paraguayan model who seemed to, the camera guys just absolutely loved, because there were pictures of her all the time.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the large-breasted chick, you know, screaming up and down for her team kind of does that.
Yeah.
Well, she's the one that said if her team won, she would run through the streets naked.
Okay. Nice.
So, up the ante, a... Norwegian porn star said that she would blow her entire following list.
Wow.
If the Netherlands won.
Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, which started up a few others. One of them being there was Bobby something in America who said if the U.S. won, she'd blow her followers list. Uh-huh. And then Gabby Quintos.
Was there one, a Spanish... porn star that did
that's
that?
Her. She, well, I don't know if it's. I don't know. I don't. But I know Gabby jumped on for Colombia.
Yeah.
Well, as America and Colombia and them got knocked out, they kind of came together to help out and formed a team known as Team BJ, which they are planning on having come 4 years from now.
Okay, right on.
But yeah, they were going to have, there was like at least five girls that were set up to help her out if the Netherlands made it to the finals.
Yeah, okay, right.
It was
on.
Netherlands versus Spain, and Spain ended up winning. So
yeah.
No one's getting blown.
Well, unless there was a Spanish one that you haven't found
yet. Yeah, then nothing came up. But this particular thing was getting write-ups in different little places. People were actually talking about the fact that these girls were planning on doing this.
Yeah.
So, I never did follow the one that you had to follow to get the blowjob, but I started following her because,
I've got a thing.
It was an interesting concept. She's an interesting tweeter. Of course, she puts up pictures.
Yeah.
I
knew a woman from Colombia once who was bloody hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was like
South
really
America.
Beautiful.
The women from there are a lot of the women from
she
South America
had super,
are
super, super curly, crazy thick hair.
Right,
it was just crazy curls flying everywhere. Oh my God, she was beautiful.
Right, so yeah.
Yeah,
and I've actually got two apps to talk about.
Oh, okay, cool. I don't. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I don't. First one is for any of our baseball following fans. It's called MLB.com At Bat Light. It is a free app. They do have a full-blown one, but the light is all you really need. you basically set it up, and you've got you can set it to follow your favorite teams.
Oh, nice!
And it gives you a list of every team playing, and as you highlight it, will give you the box score.
Okay.
You know, the runs and stuff produced. Then it also gives you the standings. It also gives you the news.
Oh, cool.
So it's stuff you don't need to. I mean. Unless you're one of these people that is rooting for a team, mm-hmm. a city you don't live in, mm-hmm. You don't really need to expend mm-hmm. the cash for at-bat,
uh-huh.
the full-blown one. I'm sure it's nice, but uh-huh. if all you need is something you can pull up so you can check the scores when you can't get to a TV,
right?
It's a great one. And the other one is one I haven't quite... I'm starting to explore now. Mm-hmm. It's DC.
Okay.
DC Comics has their own free app.
Oh, really?
That you can get news, you can get stuff on comics. I have not looked, mm-hmm. but it's got free comics you can actually look at.
On the phone. Okay, cool.
You've got a top 25 that will actually give you series, creators, imprints, and genres.
Uh-huh.
You've got the featured comics mm-hmm. that will come up and give you at least give you something that what's come out.
Cool.
Just recently, so yeah.
Yeah, every geek needs that. Seriously.
And then you can actually do, gives you stuff like find local comic book shops, sends feedbacks.
Wow.
Where you can actually download the free comics mm-hmm. to your phone and read them.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Cool.
It's an interesting little app so far.
Sweet. And I've got two recommendations. One is I'm working on a creative project, which is, you know, again, writing a story, which is why I went to Milledgeville. So I needed to come up with, like, a task list so I could check shit off as I did it.
Right.
Because I just... I do
be
well.
A little more organized, yeah.
Well, I write lists anyways, but I write lists on little pieces of paper that end up everywhere.
Yeah, or your hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is one that I downloaded it for my computer and for my phone. And when they're on the same Wi-Fi, I can sync them.
Okay, cool.
So I can check things off of my phone and sync them up.
Right.
It's really nice. And you can color code your tasks. Like, everything for my writing is purple, everything for my friends is green, everything
right.
for... house stuff is blue, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, what's it called?
Simple Task.
Okay.
And I like it a lot. It's very, very, very good. I'm enjoying it. And actually, let me bring it up for you. I wasn't going to. But that's it.
Okay. It's oh, I saw simple. You pop that popping up every so often. Okay.
Yeah, you can flag shit that's important, and it'll give you, you know, your little indicator.
Do they have a PC version?
I'm 90% sure there's a PC
okay.
version as well.
I know you're on a Mac, and I'm a PC, so.
Yeah. But these are, like, all the things that I've done.
There are things that I it would be nice to be able to get organized that way myself.
Yeah, totally. So it's nice, and you check things off, and they go from your pending to your... And it's simple. It is really just an easy thing to use, which
right.
makes it that much more useful, because you don't have to learn all this crazy shit.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to recommend is the Nook.
Yes.
The Barnes & Noble e-reader. And to anyone who knows me... You know that I don't have a lot of money to spend on shit like this.
Right.
However, I'm recommending it for a couple reasons. Number one, I spend a lot of money on books that are just trashy novels.
Right.
That I spend my $7 or $8 and then have to figure out where I'm going to keep it. You know, do I need to take it to Goodwill? You know, what I
right.
do with it then? And there's no point in having paper copies of just the crap that I know I'm not going to read.
Right.
Again. So it saves room, which is why Dan got our Kindle.
Right.
Secondly, I got it because the Kindle's nice. The Kindle's really good. This is a Wi-Fi version.
Right.
So I download all my books at home.
Right.
Which is fine. I don't need to be out, you know, in my
plus
car.
If you're at, like, Barnes & Noble.
Right.
Since they have free hotspots.
Yeah,
you
and you
that.
Can actually...
Or a Starbucks, too.
Yeah, any AT&T hotspot, which are everywhere now.
Right.
Wendy's has
right.
them, for Christ's sakes.
Hell, Crystal's has a hotspot.
Exactly.
There are hotspots.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for Waffle House to show up and
right.
start a new
Waffle House. IHOP does.
Yeah.
It came way down in price, and there was kind of like a pricing war as far as this and Kindle, where the 3G version of this is still $199, but the 3G version of the Kindle is $189 now.
Right. Plus, they're getting ready to come out with a new version of Kindle. That's another reason why Kindle's
starting. The DX, that's actually out now, the Graphite. Yeah. I think they just released that today, actually.
Right, so there is a...
Yeah.
Now, the nice thing about Kindle is that you can get different sizes. So someone who is who may not be able to see a... What's this screen size?
The 6 inches.
Because I want to say that's also the first Kindle that came out was the same size.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then you may need someone who might need a bigger... 6 inches. So
yeah, and but that, it's and nice. That's cool, but you know, both of them have the e-ink,
right?
Which is awesome if you work on a computer, because anything that's backlit, like the Sony reader or the iPad or anything like that, is just going to keep contributing to your eye strain. You may as well be staring at a computer for a couple more hours every night. And I do get some eye strain with what I do,
right?
So I really wanted that paper-like feel. The reason why I like the Nook over the Kindle is because it's got a replaceable battery.
That's always nice, yeah.
Yeah, the Kindle does not. You have to send it in for repairs or upgrade or what have you. It has an expandable memory.
Which is another nice thing.
Yeah, and both of these only come with 2 gigabytes of memory, which doesn't seem like a lot. However, that's 1,400 books.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we can see that would suck for, like, audio files, but for
e-books written... Yeah, e-books
are small. Yeah, e-books are it's a small format, yeah.
But, you know, they both do have MP3 players. So how much can you keep on the Kindle if you've only got 2 gigs? Versus this, you can throw a card in and it's expandable to 64.
But honestly, most people who have Kindles also have some form of MP3 player.
So. And I do too, but I'm just saying.
It is nice to have that, yeah.
I've already got like 800 books.
That would be really good in case you're going on a trip and you don't want to take an iPod, your books, your stuff like that. Yeah. Narrow down what you're going to do, especially considering the fact that they're charging you for everything. I think we went over the one company that's charging now to use the overhead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and this one, too, it's cool because it's got a touch screen.
Right.
A color touch screen, which I like. But it also... there's another reason. You can use your own photos as a screensaver.
That's interesting, yeah.
For it, which I kind of liked because I actually got the easel cover so I can set it up so I can see my own picture next to my bed.
Right.
Joe got the Kindle.
Right.
And it has some things to sell it too. I'm not lying. Actually, one of the cool things about the Kindle is you can highlight a passage.
Yeah, that was one of the book. That's one of the things Neil Bortz just talked about, because there are times when he'll be reading something, and he said he used to do this with regular books, is he'd have a highlighter next to him.
Yeah.
And he would highlight certain passages he wanted to remember for whatever.
Well, and you can highlight on here too.
Right.
But what's cool about the Kindle is that you can highlight them and then tweet them.
Yeah.
Or you could also save them and
then bring them up. Yeah.
So that is one cool thing about the Kindle.
Here's something you may want to think about when you think about wanting to maybe budget what you do. Because I've actually had this, a lady has done this coming through CVS. Mm-hmm. She got herself a Kindle.
Yeah.
And the temptation of being able to buy a book whenever you want was a little too great.
Yeah.
So what she would do would buy herself a Amazon gift card.
Oh, right on.
That way she gives herself a limit.
Yeah, you get one unit. You get one, like $25 a month.
25 or 25 or 50, because those are the two we sell.
Yeah.
So since you have a Nook, and they sell Barnes and Noble's gift cards, just
you can use that.
You can kind of budget yourself out. Okay, I want to spend $25.
Yeah.
You know, a month, every 2 months or whatever, and just put it on a gift card and then you have it right there.
And I would never, ever do this. However, ebooks are available as torrents.
Right.
Just saying, I would never, we're not saying to do that.
The one thing I would like to see them do with one of these e-readers, and unfortunately I think they may have to do it with a backlit one, and I'm sure the iPad does it, but comics are starting to become digital. They're starting to do that, and I would love to see one that is a color one to where you can read the comics, where the Nook
and the Kindle aren't going to be pretty on this.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing that I do miss, is that they don't have the full screen isn't color. I mean, this has like a small little color touch screen for when you're looking through your books. Yeah, that is one thing I miss.
I would like to see an ebook come out with the same concept as the
the iPad. The ink. Oh, yeah.
Something to where it's not going to give you the eye strain that looking, because that's one of the things that when they talked about the iPad coming out and going, well, you can read books on it. But yeah. But the thing is wait, you're going to give yourself eye strain, even if you can jack down the brightness and all that kind of stuff, but still.
Exactly. You can download Stanza and look at it on your computer.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. However, for magazines, I'll never subscribe to a magazine on this.
Right.
Because I want the pretty glossy pictures.
Well, one of the things, again, with Neil Bortz, because, you know, he talks about, because he raved about his Kindle when he got it.
Yeah.
And one of the things he talked about is when he first got it, had to stop himself from actually trying to turn the page.
Actually, what's really cool about that is with the Kindle, you've only got the buttons on the side. And you press the little buttons on the side.
Right.
With this one, you've got the buttons on the side, and you can press on either side, so depending on if you're righty or lefty, or if this is dark, you can just flip it like that.
Right, but
so it is very much like a book where I'm running my finger from right to left on the bottom.
But he found himself going to the top right corner to turn the page.
Yeah.
Because how vivid.
Yeah.
How good it is to read a book on the e-reader.
It is so
on
clear.
An e-reader.
Yeah. I freaking love this thing. It's been sleeping next to me in bed.
But he does. I think he gets his newspapers. I think there are a couple of newspapers he subscribes to on the paper.
Yeah, newspapers would be fine. Yeah, I mean, you can totally do newspapers on this. You can subscribe to some blogs.
Yeah.
And actually, Barnes & Noble, I'm sure Amazon has the same thing, but Barnes & Noble has their own blogs. One is like a... And you get them every morning.
Right.
They're delivered to you automatically. One is like coupons and Barnes & Noble news.
Right.
One is humor. One is like this day in history.
Right.
You don't have to read them, but you can flip through.
It's it is. I mean, it is a great concept for you know, new technology. I mean,
for readers.
Yeah.
If you're a casual reader, just buy yourself a book.
If you're someone who likes to read through books and have another one ready to go.
Right.
You know who you know.
Yeah, and I've got like seriously like 700 or 800 on here right now, so I'm ready to go. It's not charged.
Right.
Which we discovered. I was going to show you all the cool features of it, and it's. It's dead, but...
Yeah, I could see myself maybe the next price drop.
Yeah.
Picking one up.
Well, yeah, and the Wi-Fi just makes so much more sense, which... That is one good thing about the Kindle, is you can take it international.
Right.
And you can use the 3G... So we could go to New Zealand, and he could download a book in the camper van.
Right.
Which is cool.
That. But do you really need to download books while you're on vacation?
However, I'm going to have 800 books.
Right. Have enough books to read on, if you can get 1,400 books on a Kindle and you don't have enough to read,
right,
there's
some
things.
So,
yeah, you've got there's something really
exactly.
You're too busy reading, not paying attention to what's going on.
Well,
around
and you can, you know, which I went to New Zealand and I got on the net most nights.
Right.
Because most of the campsites had internet, and sometimes you had to pay $3 or $4 for it.
Right.
Sometimes you didn't. But you can download it on your computer and then sync it with your computer.
Right.
So you can still do it. So, we should wrap up. We're at 107.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice recording with you again.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks. It's been kind of weird.
Right. Well, we haven't been recording. We still have been going to dinner.
Yeah.
We will get on a more regular schedule.
We will not be skipping a Wednesday dinner. The podcast can, you know, go to hell, but, you know, there will be dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are fat people.
You're right.
You know.
Well, no, I wouldn't skip a dinner. It's having dinner with you.
Yeah.
It's having, having a nice little.
Yeah, totally agree.
But, yeah, we will hopefully get back on a more regular schedule once we figure out what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep, like, archiving and hope to hell. And, you know, in all honesty, it may be where we have to start taking some old episodes down.
Right.
We have both been really hesitant to do that.
Because we got, everything's brilliant.
Not like every fucking word that came out of our mouths is gold. Because there are a couple apps I'm like, yeah, that could go.
Right. Well, we'll figure something out. Maybe we'll do something along the lines of the Night of the Living podcast and maybe offer up.
A disc
if someone wants the early stuff for
$5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, nothing big.
Yeah, which will help us, you know, get our microphone.
Right.
So that'll be good.
Right.
So.
So. Okay. Well.
Alrighty. Anything else?
No. I think that's about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything I need to recommend.
No, we did all our recommends.
You were
and stuff.
On Chuck vs. Mal.
Yeah,
the audio didn't quite work, but they're going to have you back on.
First time recording over Skype by myself and didn't realize you had to use headphones.
Yeah.
So there will be a Chuck versus Mal that's Mal
that's
versus.
Right. You
yeah.
And Aruk on it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so.
Trying to think if we've been, follow Phantom V48 on Need Coffee. He's still writing a lot of articles.
Right.
He just published his Wallaby article, which is fabulous.
So now we're just down to you can find us at kinkingthegeek.podbean.com.
Yeah, and let's just give our Twitters. Slash find on Twitter.
And on Mighty Bill at Twitter. And KingyandTheGeek at WordPress.
Yeah, all of our other details are on WordPress.
Yeah, so it's KingyandTheGeek.wordpress.com.
Yeah, so that's it.
Hopefully we'll be brilliant there too.
Yay. Not likely. Alrighty, you guys be good.
Or be good at it.
Bye.